Hi, I'm Dick Buckley. Well, here we are with a brand new show, Jazz Archives. Actually, not brand new. It's kind of a revival of a show that we did several years ago, playing one artist through an entire show, or a few important artists through an entire show. I was listening to some records. That's strange. What do you do in your spare time? Well, I was listening to records, and I kind of struck on an idea. I played an Earl Hines record, and then I played a Teddy Wilson record, and then Jess Stacy, and then all of those who followed that Earl Hines legacy. And I thought, hey, that'd be a good idea to open the show with this brand new format. Spend some time with some of the jazz pianists that don't get a lot of time spent with them. Those from the middle period with the swing era, the great pianists who came out of the swing era and the swing bands to lead their own bands and to become great influences themselves. We'll begin with Earl Hines because he's the one who began the so-called trumpet style of piano, playing the melody in octaves so that it could be heard above the wind instruments before the days of microphones. By playing the melody in octaves, he got a little more substance to the things that he played. And he became, after a few years, the influence of a whole era of jazz pianists. Even Art Tatum, who came along, strangely enough, Earl Hines preceded Art Tatum, and Teddy Wilson, and Nat King Cole, and Mary Lou Williams, and yes, even Errol Garner. Those styles that progressed through bebop and even around today. So, we'll play with Earl Hines first, the man who started it all, and then pick it up from there. We're going to listen to a thing that Earl Hines recorded in 1928, but we're going to do a 1958 recording of My Monday Date. That was my Monday date. Earl Hines, one that he had been playing since 1928, when he turned the piano world around. One of the great influences from Earl Hines was Teddy Wilson. Teddy probably influenced more pianists in the swing era than any other pianist, being with Benny Goodman and being featured with the Benny Goodman Quartet, so that more people, Goodman as the number one band in the country, the most listened to band in the country, it gave the opportunity, the young piano players, an opportunity to hear the Earl Hines style and take it from there. Teddy Wilson began around the mid-1930s to take over as the number one pianist. And let's give a listen now to Teddy and his 1956 version of Three Little Words. That was Teddy Wilson with Three Little Words. One of the major influences of Teddy Wilson during the swing era was Jess Stacy, who was one of the Chicagoans. Actually, I think he was born in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, but he came to where the bright lights were, came to Chicago at an early age, and began to pick up on the sounds that he heard there. So he developed his own style. He played in the octaves, the trumpet style of Earl Hines, but instead of just playing the octaves, he used the fill-in notes in between, making it a chord, but he made it a tremolo by playing the interior of the chord along with the chord itself. See, if you follow me, I'm the blind leading the blind when we start talking musicologists. But we want to play Jess Stacy now. By the way, Jess also worked with the Bob Crosby Band. Several of the artists that we're going to touch on this afternoon worked with Bob Crosby. It was a great place for a piano student. So let's listen to Jess. Jess always liked, he didn't like piano solos. He liked to have rhythm background. So we'll have some drums and some bass along with this. But we're going to play You Took Advantage of Me. Jess Stacy, and You Took Advantage of Me, and a perfect example of what we were talking about with the octaves with the chords in between and then making a tremolo of it. And when I talked about these players who had worked with Bob Crosby's orchestra, one of the original members of the Bob Crosby Orchestra was Joe Sullivan, Chicago's own Joe Sullivan, one of the most overlooked the jazz musicians to come out of this city. He was with the Bob Crosby Band, and the Bob Crosby Band was slated to make it. They hired a young fella to sing with the band and lead the band or wave a stick in front of the band, Bob Crosby. They figured, how could they miss? With Bing Crosby, the number one vocalist in the country, they had his brother Bob singing with the band. But he contracted tuberculosis and had to go to a sanatorium, and spent about over a year there. And his replacement, Bob Zirke, is the one who managed to record all of the numbers that Joe Sullivan had written and was free to on. And Joe, sitting quietly in his rest home, listening to Jess Stacy become famous. One of the things that Joe Sullivan was a master at was the blues. There weren't very many blues pianists that came out of the swing era, unless they were boogie-woogie pianists. The boogie-woogie craze caught on. But Joe Sullivan was always there. This is a 1953 recording of a thing called the Gin Mill Blues. ¶¶ And that was the Gin Mill Blues, done for you by Joe Sullivan. Joe Sullivan was one of the piano players who didn't admit to being influenced by Earl Hines. He said he went by way of Fats Waller. He said he noticed that there were two main paths of jazz which he had to choose. There was Louis Armstrong and there was Bix Beiderbecke. To this day, he says, I love Bix, but I go by way of Louis. I discovered that my heart was set on playing with the black musicians. Sitting in at Kelly's Stables with Johnny and Baby Dodds was to me a thrill. I was afraid to ask, I was afraid to admit that I had classical training. I felt very defensive about it. Whatever I owe to these guys. And speaking of Fats Waller, he was the other major influence in the swing era, and Fats copyrighted over 400 tunes that he wrote. Most of them were funny. He was a funny man, and he had lots of jokes and lots of humor. But when it came down to playing just plain straight ahead, all 10 fingers and both elbows type playing, he was right there. Like, for instance, here playing his own composition, A Handful of Keys. Handful of Keys, Fats Waller, who wrote it. And he was just about a half a step removed from the boom-chuck, boom-chuck, boom-chuck feel of the Eastern pianist, the heavy bass that James P. Johnson was the one who was daddy of them all when it came to that style of piano. But Fats Waller was right there beside him. One of Fats Waller's number one influences, and we heard Joe Sullivan, a quote from Joe Sullivan about it, One of the others was Bob Zirke. He's from Hamtramck. That was the only city within a city in the United States for a long time. I don't know whether it still is or not, but it was a city actually within Detroit. Well, as long as we're talking about cities, let's talk about Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley, and this is the first show of a new series that's going to be heard every week at this time called Jazz Archives. Today we're listening to the famous jazz pianists of the swing era. There were several of them that became quite well known. We mentioned Boguslaw Zukoski, Bob Zirke, who was with the Bob Crosby Band. He's the one who replaced Joe Sullivan when Joe had to leave. And one of the things that was a favorite of his fans was the Hobson Street Blues. Hobson Street, I found out, was in Detroit. That was Bob Zirke featured at the piano with his orchestra and the Hobson Street Blues. Bob was not cut out to be a leader, like so many swing-era greats who worked with bands and became famous through the generosity of the band leader. When he introduced the tunes, he usually introduced the soloists, well-known soloists. And Zirke played several of the things with his own band that he had recorded or made famous with the Bob Crosby Band. But he had not cut out to be a band leader, but he also fought the Battle of the Bottle. And as was almost always the case, he lost. But since we've followed the players from Teddy Wilson out of Earl Hines to Bob Zirke out of Fats Waller, let's go back and listen to some of those things again, like Earl Hines and piano solo of Piano Man. Cattleman, Earl Hines. He once and for all put away the stride piano, the boomchuck pipe piano, and although he used the stride once in a while in his playing, it was not the major portion of his playing. Here's Teddy Wilson again. Now that we've heard some of the others, let's listen to the number one Hines devotee. This is Teddy playing the blues, and he was not a blues player, but he handles this very well. The blues for the oldest profession. That was Teddy Wilson with Little Blues. Blues for the oldest profession. Or was it the second oldest profession? By the way, you were listening to Jazz Archives, a brand new show, first time out today. Heard every Sunday from 2 until 3 o'clock. And today we're listening to some of the famous pianists who came out of the swing era, influenced by Earl Hines and also influenced by Fats Waller, carrying on with the Earl Hines and also the Teddy Wilson influence. Here's Jess Stacy. I Can't Get Started With You.
Thank you.
And that was Jess Stacy, I Can't Get Started with Shoes. For those people, those vocalists who have no enunciation. Let's go back to Joe Sullivan again. First of all, I wanted to say that Jess Stacy was one of my very favorite musicians back in the days when I was first beginning to listen to jazz records, back when I was a teenager. And I thought that Jess Stacy was the finest pianist. There were a lot of pianists I hadn't heard of and didn't know. But the things I had heard, Jess was king of the hill. And then I began to pick up on Joe Sullivan. I love his ballad style. Of the many things in the Bob Crosby book that featured Joe Sullivan, one of the most famous, Joe Sullivan's probably most famous composition, is Little Rock Getaway. Thank you. Little Rock Getaway. Shades of James P. Johnson, huh? That was Joe Sullivan at the piano. Let's listen to another one by Bob Zirke. Many of the things that he recorded with his own band, he played regularly in person with his own band, and finally got around to doing Tea for Two, which was one of his big features with the Bob Crosby Band. By the way, the Zirke Big Band was vastly influenced by the Bob Crosby Band. This one, May 8th of 1940, Tea for Two. That was Bob Zirke with Tea for Two, and Two for Tea, and Me for You, and You for Me. There's a line in there that is a five-way rhyme. Let's see if I can recall it. We'll awake, you will bake a sugar cake for me to take for all the boys to see. A five-way rhyme there that Larry Hart got away with. Well, let's listen to another one by Jess Stacy, since he was one of my early favorites. It's so good to hear him again. This is Fascinating Rhythm. And that was Jess Stacy playing crazy, fascinating rhythm. I knew it was crazy, but I didn't realize it was fascinating. And you're saying to yourself, whatever happened to Errol Garner? And that was Errol Garner with Blue Moon. And that pretty well wraps it up for today. Our first effort in a good many years was Jazz Archives. And we'll be here every Sunday from 2 until 3 o'clock to feature, for the most part, just one artist for the entire hour. But today was different. We had some piano players that I wanted to listen to again. And so, you know, that's a great part of having your own show. Well, hey, that's all we have time for now. I'm Dick Buckley. This is Chicago Public Radio. Happiness.